This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This show is for college recruiting fans.
What a run! He's got a lane! Wow! Touchdown! What an athlete!
The inside story on the Ducks, the Beavers, the national recruiting scene, and high school prospects across Oregon and Southwest Washington. This is Recruiting with Andrew Nemec, Scorebook Live's Director of Recruiting, and the expert players, coaches, and fans follow.
Ooh-wee.
Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
Hello and welcome to Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on 1080 The Fan. There are two ways to look at recruiting, and I think a lot of people tend to simplify things with the star rating, and that helps, but when there's only really three categories, there's no prospect, obviously. I don't even consider that one of the categories. There's 3-star, 4-star, 5-star. There's a lot of variance within that, and we know 5-stars are only the top 20 to 30 kids in the entire country. So that leaves roughly, 700, 800, 900 kids in that 3 to 4-star range, and sometimes the gap may seem significant between 3 and 4-star, and in reality, it's not that significant. So how do you break that down? What do we look at? And one of the things I like to look at, if I haven't seen a kid, if I've seen a kid, I go off my own evaluation. If I haven't, I go off his offers. And if you look at Oregon's newest commitment this week, Jackson Jones, who less than a week ago was committed to the Washington Huskies, you have to be happy with what Oregon got in the class of 2024 edge rusher. Again, only a 3-star prospect. The number 19 edge rusher in the country is Jackson Jones. But after he committed to Washington, the likes of Arizona State, Michigan, Notre Dame, Oregon State, USC, and Utah, and obviously Oregon, entered the mix. So not all 3-stars are created the same. And Jackson Jones is a monster get for the Oregon Ducks. They've got to be happy with that for the class of 2024. Kind of a nice way to start off this week, given that the traditional signing period kicks off Wednesday. Now, old me, 5-6 years ago me, and 5-6 years ago college football, this would be the busiest time of year because none of the top prospects in the country would be signed. This used to be it. The first Wednesday in February used to be the only time players could put, or the first time players could put pen to paper and sign national letters of intent. Now we have the early signing period in December. And in the first year of the early signing period, roughly 70% of the top prospects committed. Fast forward to this year. Of the top 150 prospects in the country, the top 150, the real game changers, the real program-altering talents, 145 of them signed. That means 5 out of 150 were still on the table.
Not very many.
And not to like, Buck, I don't know how you feel about this, because this is going to sound maybe slightly controversial, I guess. Every year there's a handful of kids who are members of the LDS Church, which is neither here nor there. That's not my point. But they go on a 2-year mission after high school, and we consider them recruits, and we cover them like a traditional signing period, and they sign, and we announce their signings. But if you take a 2-year mission, and knowing that the national letter of intent is only valid for 1 year, they're signing nothing.
Yeah, does it really even count?
It doesn't even count. Literally, it doesn't count. If you sign a national letter of intent and you go on a 2-year mission, by nature of the fact that the national letter of intent is only good for 1 year.
And it may be...
You didn't really even sign.
Right. It may be the kind of thing that they intend to honor that commitment, but the way the system works, it truly isn't worth anything.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with them committing. I have no problem with that, and I have no problem with them signing either. But if you're going to take a two-year mission, you're not really signing. And my point being there is... You take another one off the table with that. It would be 145 of the top 149 prospects because, one, Walker Lyons, who's a phenomenal tight end, is going on a two-year mission, and even when he does sign, he's going to go on a two-year mission and do the whole recruiting process all over again. So that means four out of the top 149. I mean, that's less than 3% of the top prospects in the country are still available. When that's the case, everybody goes, eh, don't expect much fireworks. Well... If you're Oregon, that may not be the case because you're in on two of them. And as I mentioned last week, and perhaps this was intentional, Oregon has been a program that has not really recruited. And one of the areas I felt they could really improve in recruiting was recruiting those kids who were track and field and football athletes. And I said that's not something that's really been a theme of their recruitment in the Dan Lanning era so far, but it could be. This weekend, Oregon hosted on an official visit Nicholas Harbor, the number one athlete in the country. I talked about him last week as a major, major prospect. This kid is the absolute freakiest athlete in the class of 2023. He's 6'5", 225 pounds. 6'5", 225 pounds. He's going to play tight end or edge rusher. This week, he ran a 6.64 60 meter. Now, I know for a lot of people that doesn't mean a whole lot. Let's put it in perspective. Anthony Schwartz was a national champion sprinter who went to Auburn. He's like Olympic fast. And he was a recruit who really couldn't play receiver, but he could run a go route. He ran a 6.59. That's the only recruit in the last decade that's been a notable football recruit that's run a faster 60-meter time, which is a much more popular event on the East Coast. We have 100. They run the 100 as well. This is an indoor event, but that's a lot more popular. It's faster than some of the guys we've talked about in recent years where we're talking about truly, truly the elite, elite speedsters in classes. He's that fast, and he's 6'5", 225. It's baffling. We talk about the absolute fastest players in America, in track and field, anywhere. And, you know, you're talking about running backs and you're talking about receivers. You don't talk about edge rushers. A couple of the other names here in recent years that have run close to that fast. Gavin Sawchuk, this is from Andrew Ivins. Gavin Sawchuk ran a 6.69. Tyson Campbell, who was a speedster who went to Georgia and ended up being a first-round NFL draft pick, ran a 6.72. Again, a lightning-fast corner whose 60 time was notable 6-7 years later. Nicholas Harbor's faster. On Friday, he checked out Autzen Stadium. On Saturday, he spent time with the Oregon football program. Nicholas Harbor's a guy to watch. Again, number one athlete, five-star recruit, number 14 athlete in the country. A lot of raw. A lot of raw. I think he needs to learn how to play the tight end position and edge rusher position at an elite level. But if we're just talking about pure measurements, there's almost no one in the country I've ever seen, ever, like this kid. This is an athlete who really, truly could, if he decided to, just focus on track, and he'd be a kid who you'd project potentially to run in the Olympics in the 100. Or... he could play edge rusher, and he's 6'5", 230, and he's a five-star edge rusher. That's unreal. We see guys who are, again, the potential Olympic/football split, and usually they're running backs, they're receivers, they're corners. You don't see that from a guy who's Kayvon Thibodeau's size. I mean, it's unfathomable. Oregon's got a shot. Michigan's got a shot. South Carolina's considered the favorite. Oregon got the last visit. And any time at this point Oregon gets the last visit, by the way, Miami has potentially jumped into the picture here late. I just put my hands up. Oregon's in it late. Miami's in it late. South Carolina's in it late. Michigan's in it late. We'll see. But if you host him on the final visit, you've got a shot. And today, who's he posting pictures of? Oregon. In an Oregon uniform, at Hayward Field, at Autzen Stadium. Those are good signs for Oregon. And again, this is a player, and I know Mateo Uiagalelei, a very exciting edge rusher, is already signed. Nicholas Harbor, from an athlete standpoint, would be your headliner. Because even if football, he ends up being a rotational guy, which again, he's a five-star prospect, so that's unlikely. But even if that's what he was, he's got potential to be a national champion in the 100 and the 200. Mm-hmm. That's how incredible he is.
Well, so, and I don't know if you have this kind of off the top of your head, and I don't mean to put you on the spot, but you talked about Oregon essentially being the last team in, getting the last visit. How often is it, at least in your experience, have you seen, what percentage of time does that last team in end up getting the nod, or how much does it matter?
I don't have the numbers.
Yeah, and I figured it might not be something that would be easy to run, but if it does, it seem like it works out favorably, maybe more often than not, or anything like that?
Here's what I know. There have been major recruitments that I've covered over the years, obviously, and that have involved, and not that I've spoken to him, but that have involved guys like Nick Saban, Dabo Sweeney, Urban Meyer, when he was at Ohio State. And overwhelmingly with those guys, they want the last visit. They want the last in-home visit.
That makes sense.
They want the last official visit. You want the last visit. If you can get the last visit, and I think with JT Tuimoloau, that's why Oregon fan held out hope that they could potentially pull that off. And I was going, hey, guys, this ship has sailed. This ship has sailed. He was going to visit Ohio State. He was not going to go home. He was going to stop in Denver and then go to Eugene. And he can't cancel his visit because of the way it's being paid for. And they had to get clearance from the NCAA that Oregon picks it up from Denver. Ohio State gets from there to there. It would involve too much paperwork for him to cancel the Oregon visit. So he took the Oregon visit. And Oregon fan went, well, he took the last visit to Oregon, so we got a shot. That last visit is often crucial. Nicholas Harbert is an absolute wild card. And I said this about Mateo Uiagalelei 4 or 5 months ago. If you're in his finalists, you have a shot. And that's going to be the case with Nicholas Harbert. Again, would be the headliner of this class. He's committing on ESPN at, I believe it's 10 a.m. Pacific time, 1 p.m. Pacific time. I wrote an article. It is on scorebooklive.com/recruiting. You can check that out. Oregon also in it. I mentioned only five of the top 150 kids in the country are unsigned heading into Wednesday's signing period. Nicholas Harbert's one, and he's the top unsigned player in the country. How about this? Roderick Pleasant is also unsigned. He's the number 9 corner in the country, number 8 according to some sources. He broke the California state record in the 100 and is the state champion in the 200. Nicholas Harbert and Roderick Pleasant both have potential Olympic aspirations. Oregon's in it for both of them. Track is a selling point for both of them. I'd love for Oregon, for Dan Lanning and the track program to come together here and say, hey, we've got a pitch and we can get some elite football / track guys on campus. Roderick Pleasant was potentially going to take a visit to Oregon this weekend. He did not end up making that trip, but he may not have needed to. He's visited before. He may want some time to think about things. And truly, just because he didn't take that trip doesn't mean it's not Oregon. If he doesn't take that visit, it's over. That actually wasn't the case. This was like a last minute, I could go and just hang out and see, or I could take some time and discuss with my family. The fact that he didn't take that visit, sometimes it matters. And sometimes I would tell you that, like, hey, he didn't take the visit. It's not happening. Like, if Nicholas Harbert wouldn't have taken this visit to Oregon, I'd have said, it ain't happening. Oregon needed to host him. Oregon needed to host him there to impress him, to show him Autzen, to show him a good time around the football program. They needed that. This isn't that case. This is a battle between Boston College, Cal, Oregon, UCLA, and USC. As it stands, I think it's an Oregon-USC battle primarily. That being said, UCLA, we saw it with the Dante Moore sweepstakes. They are entering the picture late for guys and trying to pull some elite talent and keep some elite talent home. They were able to get Dante Moore from Michigan. They'd like a marquee name from California, and potentially they might have the NIL resources to make that happen. UCLA is another name to watch. Do I think it's going to happen? Do I think he's going to UCLA? Not really. I think it's primarily a battle between USC and Oregon. So when you go into this late signing period, most programs, you look at Alabama. Alabama signed 7 five-star guys. They're mostly done. Maybe they add a piece here or there, but they're done. They're standing pat. They've got the number one recruiting class in the country. Georgia's waiting on one more player. Georgia has an elite recruiting class. They're mostly done. Most of the country, frankly, is done. And yet here we are. We saw it in the early signing period in December. We're going to see it on Wednesday during the late signing period. Oregon is this program that in the last 48 hours before the late signing period, before the early signing period in December, is making pushes for kids. And we are seeing that under Dan Lanning, this is an Oregon program that wants to close with a bang. They want to close with fireworks. Maybe Peyton Bowen didn't end up at Oregon. He signed with Oklahoma after committing to Oregon. But they still got Mateo Uiagalelei. They flipped Jaden Lamar, the top running back in the really in the West Coast right there with Roderick Robinson. They flipped him from Notre Dame. They got Austin Novosad. They got Daylon Austin. All in the last 48 hours before that early signing period, they might pull it off again, and we might be looking at a situation where Oregon, for the fifth year in a row, is crowned kings of recruiting in the Pac-12 conference, not necessarily because of its consistency over the entire recruiting cycle, but because of its ability to close in the waning hours of the early signing period and late signing period. Oregon, despite losing Dante Moore, was a big winner at the deadline of the early signing period. I laid out all the names they got. Oregon potentially could be the big winner of the late signing period, even if they can only split Nicholas Harbor and Roderick Pleasant, because there aren't enough big names on the board. You get one, you're a winner. Oregon's got a shot to get two. We will find out on Wednesday. Definitely something to watch. I want to go over the Pac-12 recruiting rankings. Who did well? Who surprised? Who disappointed? That is next on Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on 1080 The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.